Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on Sports Talk Hour 2. Deuce, Bobby, and Christian here. Coming up in about, 30 seconds or so, Chris Landry, owner of LandryFootball.com, at LandryFootball on Twitter, former NFL scout. He's the co-host of Believe in Pro Football Film Room on the Believe Podcast Network. He's also the owner of LandryFootball.com, scouting and coaching consultant for NFL teams and college programs, for scout or former scout of the Oilers and Titans, and director of NFL Combine. He's worked with Nick Saban and Bill Belichick. So we'll visit with Chris Landry here momentarily as we're just a couple of days away from the draft.
Well, Christian, you know what he reminds me of? This is kind of old school. You know, every team has their own scouting department. I'm going to ask Chris this, that he used to have, I want to say, is Bledsoe, or I know United, they had a scouting service that maybe you'd have 9, 10, 11 teams that were subscribed to their service.
Yeah, that was Bledsoe.
Yeah, they had United. So I think Chris.
Go ahead. Chris Landry's on the line right now.
Chris, the service that you provide now, is it kind of old school? Because remember when I was younger and have a Bledsoe United scout that would come, that wasn't necessarily a particular NFL team. But they'd maybe they would have a service that 9, 10, 11 teams would subscribe to. Is that kind of like what you're doing now, that people look at your work and then they're able to attain that? Or is that very similar?
No. What I do is a little bit different, Bob. I just do consulting work for teams and college programs on coaching and scouting matters. I do pro personnel work, college work. What you're talking about is the old National and Bledsoe, which I work for both of them. And you're right. Those are the scouting organizations in the NFL where the way they do it now is each team supplies a scout, and it's like a clearinghouse of they go to all the schools that play football, and the team subscribe to it, and they coordinate a lot of the background information. So that way, I mean, obviously you're going to go to, you know, a USC every year, but you may not go to, you know, Cal State Sacramento, but once every 5 or 6 years, unless right. they have a player. Those clearinghouse, Bledsoe and National, do that. But you got a good memory. That's absolutely those guys do it. But yeah, I do something a little bit different, a little bit more individual with different teams.
Chris,
Christian, you got one hell of a backfield right there now.
Oh yes, I do. Got a quarterback and a running back.
Oh man,
Saints all time leading rusher and the first quarterback to lead the Saints to the playoffs. You kidding me?
Yeah, I know. I go to bed dreaming about drafting a Deuce and a Bobby, and I wake up in cold sweats. I never can find those guys again. Anyway, great to be with you,
Chris. I have a question for you. How much can we truly believe of what's coming out of different teams, you know, as far as a lot of the GMs are having their press conferences today or tomorrow, but, you know, and you're seeing signals of XYZ won't be the first player drafted this year, or this team is moving up. They really love Ed Oliver at number 3, you know, when you talk about the Jets. How much of this can we really believe, or is it, you know, go back and really watch the film and don't necessarily fall in love with what a guy may have done at the combine and or his workout?
I would say next to nothing. I think when, you know, there's a saying, those who know don't talk, and those who talk don't know. Because here's what really happens right now is you like guys to follow a little bit. I give you a quick little story. The year we drafted Eddie George, you know, people didn't know what we were thinking and whatever. But if you kind of listen, you kind of thought that the two backs that we like were Tim Biakabatuka out of Michigan and maybe Lawrence Phillips, but never Eddie George. And, you know, some people kind of got the impression that, well, we like Ricky Dudley, the tight end there. Well, we were able to move down, still get Eddie George, and we got a fourth-round pick from the Raiders who we used to draft John Runyon. And you never want people to know what you're doing. When we drafted Steve McNair, everyone assumed we were going to draft McNair. And Tom Coughlin's on the phone at at the second pick. We're picking third, and he's threatening us, hey, you can give us a third-round pick to move up here, or else I'm going to trade to someone. And we thought it was Minnesota. He didn't have anybody to trade. He wasn't going to – we called his bluff because we knew he wasn't going to trade down. But the point is, if they kind of know what you're going to do, then you make it vulnerable for people to jump up ahead of you. So I think it's – as I put something on LandryFootball.com this week, it's lying season right now. If people are saying something – you know, if somebody tells me something, yeah, I hear that the Chiefs are going to do this, I'm thinking – if they're telling you they're doing that, they're not doing that. That's smokescreen. Well,
'tis the season for subterfuge. I mean, that's
yes,
what this
sir.
Is all about. Chris Landry, former NFL scout at LandryFootball.com, is at Landry on Twitter as well. I want to ask you about Eddie George. How much did you guys that year breathe a sigh of relief when Alex Molden was selected by the Saints instead of Eddie George?
We did, and actually they confessed to me. Bill Koharik confessed to me that they didn't even have Eddie as their number one running back. So I guess we were a lot safer than we thought. So, but we had a little bit of a sweat there, but we had a backup plan. But we were happy when he was there, and we're thankful.
Chris Landry,
Christmas card.
Chris Landry here with us till 5:30. We'll step away and come back and talk a little more NFL draft next here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Bobby Deuce and Christian. Chris Landry with us, owner of LandryFootball.com, at LandryFootball on Twitter. He's a co-host of Believe in Pro Football Film Room on the Believe Podcast Network, former NFL scout as well. And Chris, I know this isn't necessarily related to the Saints, but what's going on in Oakland where they're sending their scouting staff home? What do you make of that?
Well, it's basically a general manager that, quite frankly, is pretty insecure in how things are. I'll give you the short version, but I did a podcast on it. It's up on LandryFootball.com. You've got a lot of scouts there that, that have done a really nice job in the past. And I don't think they're real happy with somebody that really doesn't have the coaching and scouting background. And I don't think they've gelled together all that well. Let's just call it that. And listen, John Gruden is making all the decisions that he's got, $100 million to prove that. And, you know, he's got somebody that's just going to organize it for him. That's what Mayock's there for. I don't know. It's kind of hard to screw up this draft with all the quality picks that they have, but I hope they don't, because this is, you know, obviously it's a tradition rich organization and they've got a chance to do some really good here. But yeah, it's a mess. There's no question about it. You don't send scouts home and not bring them back. That's very, very unusual. You maybe keep them out of the draft room if you want. But the way this was handled was not optimal.
Now, Chris, I'm looking where the Saints are at right now. It just, I would say no matter who you draft, you kind of hard press to make the roster. And when I look at last September, they had 17 players released or traded by the Saints during training camp that were on rosters of other NFL teams, including 12 who were part of the Saints' final roster cuts in September. So when you look at when it came about, and they're going to cut players on their roster that will play for other NFL teams, to say the least, and then I'm looking that the last three drafts have yielded 9 starters. Alex Azzalone, Von Bell, Kamara, Lattimore, Ramchick, Sheldon Rankin, Tre'Quan Smith, Michael Thomas, Marcus Williams, and then you got 3 reserves, Davenport, Hendrickson, then you got Oyemata. And then all of a sudden they cut 4 picks from their 7-man draft class, and all 4 have landed on NFL rosters. Look at Jamerson. He went to the Packers. Cameron Moore went to the Giants. So the point being, it's like people say, oh, we don't have a first-round pick. But the way the Saints are structured to win now, and considering the perception that they're amongst the best, that, I don't know, the 62nd player you hope makes the team. But beyond that, I mean, you can have players that have potential, but who are you going to cut? Considering that the Saints are that deep.
Yeah, I think you're looking at not a lot of glaring needs. I think you're looking for depth. I think that there's still a very good chance that at 62 that you've got a player that is maybe 25, 30 on your board that can really help you. I mean, maybe it's a big receiver that can help, but is he better? And this is what you have to decide. Is he better than the young guys that you have? Is he more reliable than Cam Meredith, who can't stay healthy? Or, you know, is he better than Tre'Quan Smith? That's how you have to cross-evaluate players on your team versus guys on the roster, guys in the draft. But I still think you can find some good players, but what you pointed out is very well, they'll take it, and it's a good thing. It just means that the roster is really good. It's tougher to make good rosters, but I will say this. I always get nervous because depth is key.
Right.
You guys know this. We saw it last year. You sit there, and if they lose a starting tackle for a year, for the rest of the year, they're in trouble. You know, so they're probably going to have to sign a veteran third tackle because, you know, we know what happened last year. They got in trouble against Dallas and blocking those guys when they were banged up. So I think you still have to be strategic in finding guys that can help your team. And your board's going to look differently than other teams, but I still think they're good players. And listen, they're not afraid to maneuver and move up and find a guy that can really be a factor for them. But you're right. There's not a lot of open spots on the front line of this team.
Well, Chris, and I look at this. I mean, at number 62, without even moving, fans say, oh, we got to move. No, we ain't got to move nowhere. I'm looking at number 62. When I look at 62 or later, when you got Alvin Kamara, the 67th pick, you got Alex Anzalone, not so much maybe 76, but still look where he's at now. But the two players, to me, Alvin Kamara at 67, Teron Armstead at 75th. Come on, look where they're at right now. So to me, the Saints don't have to do anything and just stay at 62. It can have a significant impact on the future with that particular player they would draft.
Absolutely. And, you know, you may find, you know, your swing interior offensive lineman. Because, you know, Easton's been a guy that's had some injury issues. So you may find that guy fifth round beyond. You can do that. There are possibilities you can move back from two. Now, moving up, well, how are they going to move up anyway? I mean, they're not moving up. You don't have anything to give except next year's draft. Now, you can do that if you got somebody that is an impactful player that can make a huge difference, that comes in and starts right away. But outside of that, I mean, you're not going to do that. You're right. I think the smart move, the prudent move, might be to move back if that guy is not there that they like. But, a guy like a N'Keal Harry or receiver that can come in and maybe be an upgrade over what they have, I could see somebody like that having a pretty early impact. But you don't know who's going to be there, and you're not going to know until you're on the clock. And that's why you have all the options that you prepare for moving back. Is what I think moving back is more of a realistic possibility, but who knows? We know Sean and Mickey, particularly Sean, who kind of really drives the decisions. If he's got a guy that he thinks can really help him, he might be inclined to do it. But I can tell you, if they're moving up, if that's what the fans are calling for, it's at the expense of giving up a pick next year. And, you know, you're going to have to – the rule of thumb is you have to give at least a round higher in next year's draft. So if you're going to move up, you're probably looking at giving up another first-round pick. I think that becomes a diminishing returns there because this team is going to need to replenish, and they're going to need those first-round picks going forward.
Chris,
I mean, for example, a guy like Patrick Peterson is on the trade market right now for the Cardinals. But, you know, a team – you know, some teams – well, the Saints, for example – they got nothing to give. You know, I mean, you got no picks. And so you want to have some draft pick capital to be able to make some, you know, moves that you can't make right now.
Chris Landry, former NFL scout, owner of LandryFootball.com. Good follow on Twitter at LandryFootball. Chris, we appreciate the time, man. And we'll catch up with you probably after the draft just to kind of talk about who did well, who didn't, all that good stuff. All right.
Hey, appreciate you. Hey, just give them the ball. You got two winners right there, man.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me, guys. Enjoy the draft.
Take I just got to stay out of the way. That's my rule.
All right, Chris.
Bobby, Deuce, and Christian back after our CBS and local news headlines here on WWL. Every time I hear this song, I think of Karate Kid. Leave it up. Deuce, do you think of Karate Kid when you hear this song? With Danielson? You don't?
No.
No,
no. I just feel like dancing when I hear this.
Bananarama, right?
No, yeah, cool as an old man, I still can move to this, Christian. My knees might hurt if I move too much, but I can move to this.
Yeah, this came out while you were playing.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of all of a sudden something's clicking in my brain, like whoa.
Dude, someone make you the GM. Patrick Peterson's on the market for the Cardinals, right? Saints had an interest in him last year. Tried to move Andrus Peat for him along with maybe some sort of draft pick. They got their second-round draft pick, obviously. You're probably going to be less likely to move Andrus Peat because of Max Unger's retirement. What would you be willing to trade next year's one for Pat P?
I would be willing to trade next year's one. The only problem is I feel like Arizona is going to get a this year something that is going to be more valuable than a one next year. You know, they're in a rebuild mode as far as Arizona is concerned, so they're trying to get as many acquire as many picks, you know, whether it's a one or a two or whatever it may be this year and or players. And so that's really where the problem comes in for the Saints. Yeah, they probably would be willing to move next year's draft pick for a player of that caliber. But the problem is, you know, I don't think Arizona is going to want that. I think they're going to want something this year from the Saints. And, you know, it may be a one next year and a two your second rounder this year. And that's where it becomes way too much.
What about, Bobby, if you took Eli Apple, took your number two, and sent it to the Cardinals for Pat P?
If Max Unger was still on board, I would send Andrus Peat, Eli Apple, and a number two for Pat P. I think we'd have the best duo of cornerbacks in Lattimore and Pat Peat. Now, I don't know. That's kind of shady or shaky, I should say, because Max Unger, Easton might work out. I don't know. He might work out. And listen, I know we got the right guard and Larry Wolford. But Andrus Peat, I think he's a mauler, run blocking. But, you know, Drew Brees stepping up in the pocket. That would the Cardinals be willing to accept Eli Apple and this year's number two? I mean, I don't know. I'll just call and tell him. I mean, this is what we're offering.
Deuce, is there anybody on this roster that you feel like the Saints could use in a trade that they could go without? I mean, the only one I think is, in other words, not just do without, but would be able to fetch significant value for you.
That's the problem. I don't think that they have anyone. They're players.
Sure.
That they have value.
But they don't want to part with them.
They're not going to part with them.
Right.
You know, so yes, they have players on their roster that they could move and you could get significant value for players. But the Saints aren't going to part with
them. Yeah, we're not going to give up right now. Hopefully he stays healthy. Teron Armstead.
No.
Teron Armstead, well, he's like the poster child.
You've got value in Lattimore. You've got value
Ramchek.
In Ramchek. The Saints aren't giving up those guys. You know, the Saints aren't giving up those type of guys. You know, one and this is pure, I have to put that period out there, pure speculation. You know, an individual like Mike Thomas. Now, he would be one that, you know, just because he's coming into his last year of his contract, he would get you a significant haul.
Well, and Deuce, I'm glad you brought that up. Because go ahead.
The hole would be so large on the offensive side, you would be giving yourself a bigger problem.
I mean,
I know the Saints have been able to manufacture yards with different receivers,
right?
XYZ.
He's a game changer, though.
You don't have anybody in-house that's ready for it.
Not to mention, I think you hurt your transition from post-Drew Brees life.
Well,
you not only do that, but then you're going to hurt the locker room as well.
Let me tell you, if Tre'Quan Smith would have truly stepped up, I said this last year when we drafted him, if Tre'Quan Smith would have truly stepped up and could potentially beat at number one, they would not necessarily want to pay Michael Thomas that. Now it's ridiculous, the market. I would say
it's going to be $20 million.
It's
anywhere between 17 and 20.
Hey, Deuce, I was saying $16 million. I don't know if the
Saints. Look what Adam Thielen just got from the Vikings.
Exactly. That helps Michael Thomas's camp.
It's between 17 and 20.
That helps Michael Thomas's camp? Yeah.
Would you feel comfortable with Tre'Quan being your one?
Hell no. What? Tre'Quan number one? Man, well, what?
Mic drop. Right?
No. He's like, okay, he's on the team. You hope he develops. What? Come on. No. That's why if you're a Michael Thomas fan, he has a lot going for him going forward, considering where the Saints are at, whether Mickey Loomis likes this or not, and considering what Thielen just got paid. Michael Thomas is going to get paid. You know why also? He's a big, strong receiver. He ain't no Brandon Cooks who gets pushed around. Brandon Cooks got paid by the Rams. Now, think about this. How many players in the Brandon Cooks level, what we appreciate him with the Saints, and then we get rid of him, considering you got Drew Brees, and the Patriots get rid of him with Tom Brady. But then he gets paid. He had two strikes on him. Where the Rams? Man, props go out to Brandon Cooks. But I'm shocked the Rams paid him all that money.
Bobby Deuce and Christian, Sports Talk rolls on here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Bobby Deuce and Christian. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Joe on the West Bank. What's going on, Joe? You're on WWL.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the Ricky Williams trade when the Redskins got our number one, but they also got two number twos, two number threes, all the way two number sevens, all of that. And what did they do with all those picks?
Chris Samuels, and the other All-Pro Champ Bailey, the other All-Pro defensive back.
But can you imagine if a team nowadays had two number twos, threes, fours, fives, six, sevens? To me, they didn't do anything with those picks, you know?
Oh, the Redskins did outstanding. Both of those players, Chris Samuels was an All-Pro.
Didn't LeVar Arrington come in that hall,
the
too?
Next year.
The next year, yeah.
The next year. Both of those players. The problem with the Redskins was the coaching staff then. It wasn't the talent that they had. They had no stability with the coaching staff.
Oh, okay.
Well, when you think of the Redskins, what if the Redskins really had stability and he had to come for a second time around?
Joe Gibbs.
And he went to NASCAR. And his family's been able to prosper with Joe Gibbs Racing. But it's about dysfunctional. The Redskins are in the top five out of 32 dysfunctional teams as of late.
Well, it started with Snyder being too over-aggressive as an owner, and then it's been lately.
He's been a terrible owner.
Well, lately it's been more so the GM. You know, it's been more of the GM not being on the same page.
Is that Bruce Allen?
Being on the same page with the head coach.
I can tell you this. I've been up there a few times, and they do not. The fan base does not like him.
Fan base doesn't like him because he's been steady raising prices. He hadn't done anything to the stadium.
That's right.
And the stadium's
a dump.
They charge for practice and spring training. Mm-hmm. Charge fans. I mean, it's well, no, they're not happy at all.
And you know what? I always reflect back. I'm an old fart, but I reflect back. I look at the Redskins, Deuce.
You think about the Hogs.
Oh, God, the Hogs. When they had Doug Williamson on, they were winning Super Bowls that one year. And Mark Kripien, when they were winning. I mean, always look at like a true band. I never forget this. Playing at ORFK Stadium, they had a band.
Yeah, it wasn't cheerleaders. It was like
a band like you see in high school, college. And it was like, you hope the Redskins weren't rolling. Because they'd be like, hail to the Redskins, fight for old D.C. And you do not want to hear that song, and they'd be rocking and all that. No, it was unbelievable. You get goosebumps. And listen, I'm playing against this team, and it's like the Redskins, man, they are so dysfunctional this day and age.
I think Daniel Snyder is one of these owners that looks at it as, if we win, we win. That's fine. As long as my bottom line. He's a bottom line owner.
He doesn't have
a burning desire.
Yes, he
to
does,
bring
Chris.
Championships.
He has a burning desire because he grew up a Redskins fan. He just don't know what he's doing. I'm a Christian. He loves the Redskins. He does not want to change the mascot.
Does he love political correctness? Does he love him when it's time to deposit a check, or does he love him because?
But Deuce, he has done that. He's paid like Dion. He's paid veterans in the past. He pays the wrong people. He's just been dysfunctional.
That's what we're telling you.
No, he doesn't really care.
No, Christian, he's still paying them. He's just paying the wrong people.
I guess my point is he's not cheating. I think that he looks at it as just like, well, if we win, that's great. But if we don't, that's fine too. I mean, that stadium, when they first built that stadium up there, FedEx Field, at the time was state of the art. He has done nothing to improve it.
Nothing to it.
Look, if it's wet and rainy for a couple of days prior to or on game day, the field is an absolute mess. I mean, it's really kind of shameful that it's an NFL venue, to be honest with you.
Well, you look at Daniel Snyder, and you know, it just shows you money follows money. You know why it's called FedEx Field? The owner of FedEx,
Richard Smith, wanted
a team in Memphis.
Right.
He couldn't get a team in Memphis, so how can I still be part of the NFL? So he goes with Daniel Snyder and the Redskins,
and and does the deal with the Redskins.
Because all of a sudden they get the Tennessee Titans, Nashville, not in Memphis.
Do you know who his team doctor is, correct?
No, I do not know that, Deuce.
Dr. Andrews.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Oh, Dr. Andrews. That's the.
So he flies and he cut a deal where Andrews is the team doctor for the Redskins.
And Alabama.
Hey.
And Alabama.
Dr. Andrews, and we talk about the Greenbrier and the facility set up there. Dr. Andrews is a rock star in the medical world.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
he wanted the best of the best.
Right.
So he went out and what guy do you like? All right, that's going to be our guy.
Yeah, bring him in.
Coming back for Derek in South Carolina, Bubba in Metairie, and you two at 504-260-1. Sports Talk here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, why can't Tony Gonzalez come out of retirement? A texter writes. Tony Gonzalez has been long removed.
Tony Gonzalez, we got the right tight end. We got Jerry Cook. Watch Jerry Cook. I'm telling you, Jerry Cook's going to be special in a Saints uniform with Drew Brees.
Derek in South Carolina. What's going on, Derek? You're on WWL.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, thank you.
I was listening to y'all earlier talking about the Patrick Peterson and how we can acquire him. And I was wondering what the fact that they kind of have receiver needs, not just wide receiver needs. What about if we package, I know we just got him, but the person y'all was just talking about, Jared Cook, in a package, put a number one on number two. You think they would accept that?
That's counterproductive. I think you're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah.
Well, y'all mentioned Thomas before, and like Deuce said,
nah,
that would be
the player, Derek, would be more Andrus Pete, who's from Arizona. He went to Arizona High School. He'd be going back to basically where he grew up, played at Stanford, but he's from Arizona. Everyone's looking for top-notch offensive lineman. I think he's a run mauler, suspect at times in pass protection. I don't know if he truly loves football, but he's a giant, so he has to like football. I mean, when you like 6'7", 330 pounds, you can't be big for nothing. So he has to make himself like football. I mean, I think Andrus Pete, that's where he's at. I don't know if the Saints are going to pay him long-term, but I think that would be the player along with draft picks to entice maybe Patrick Peterson, the Cardinals.
Yeah, it wouldn't be Jared Cook. I mean, he had an opportunity to sign with any team via free agency, so I don't think that the Cardinals would go back and say, yeah, we want him, when they could have signed him as a free agent.
Plus, Jared Cook gives you the luxury of not having to necessarily go find another receiver. You can manipulate him on the chessboard as a hyped up, souped up receiver playing down the hash. I mean, I just think that it would be counterproductive to do so.
Well, we still got Drew Brees in the fold. He knows how to utilize the tight end. Come on, Jeremy Shockey, Jimmy Graham,
Ben Watson.
Ben Watson's the poor man, but like a Jerry Cook. Hell yeah, hell no. We're not getting rid of Jerry Cook. We just got him. They ain't no way. Now,
plus the cap hit you would
take.
It'd
be interesting to see in the future Michael Thomas. I'm telling you, people think that's blasphemy, but I'm thinking what Michael Thomas is going to demand is, because at first I said, the only thing Michael Thomas got going in his favor that's a big thing, Tre'Quan Smith did not work out how he's developed so far, but look what he's going to maybe demand. He's about to do 17 to 20 million.
That's the market somewhere in there.
He's in the driver's seat. Bubba, you lead off next hour. I'll carry you over. This is Sports Talk. Bobby Deuce and Christian here on WWL.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.